Log Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the boy, "There is a fight that's going on inside me and inside every other person too. And it's a terrible fight. This fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil, it is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson, he thought about it for a minute, and he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The wolf you feed."
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me? I wanna be free, totally free. I'm not gonna live in a world.
Wake up, goddammit!
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Namaste, okay, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, live broadcast Mondays and Wednesdays on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhousefx. 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Will Green, holding half, just a measly mere half of our hosting duties here on the show every Monday and Wednesday, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. They call him Unc. We call him the Lions Historian, but he's my best friend, my dad, Bill Green, or simply Daddy-O. Hey, Pops, Daddy-O.
Hey, what's up, Wilfredo? You know, just to clarify something, you know, just so the millions of listeners out there.
The millions!
won't be confused. I call you Wilfredo because that's what my older brother called me. And so I handed it down to my firstborn, who is William Green Jr. And until you have another that you name William Green III, you're stuck with it for the duration of time. But anyway, I just want everybody to know where Wilfredo came from, my man. I'm doing still too early to tell, but other than that, you know, it is what it is. So what's up, man?
You know, it's another show, another great opportunity to spend some time with you, spend some time with our listening audience out there, and, you know, and see what happens. You know, it's yeah, I know people be listening like, man, these guys are so corny. So what?
Yeah.
It's our show, damn it. I can be corny if we want to sometimes.
Hey, man, corny sells. corny is needed in our world right now anyway, man. You know,
it's way
too much serious going on. Yeah.
Yeah, even for me, and, you know, that's a lot too much serious for me.
Yeah,
and
it's not that serious is a bad thing. It's just the direction of serious that has me concerned, you know, like people who are seriously racist, as an example. You know, that rattles my cage. You know, you know, people who are, you know, seriously misogynistic, you know, and have, you know, just people who, you know, are seriously hell-bent on whatever direction, you know, the movement of our country as we know it seems to be slanting toward. You know, that's my concern because it reads serious, but then it's hard to tell if they're just playing a game of serious, especially the politicians. Mm-hmm. You know, and unfortunately, so many people let politicians influence their seriousness. So, and sometimes fail to recognize the politics of seriousness. I guess I'm tripping. Go ahead, man.
It's cool. It's a serious situation, you know. It's a serious discussion. Seriously. It's seriously cold up here, you know. It's a lot of serious. What was that? Indiana Jones. He had that line. This is serious. You know,
this is serious. Yeah. Right on, man. So, go on and do your thing, bro. Yeah.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we are already having a moment, already 8 minutes into the show. So now is a good time as any to. Where's the override? So now is definitely a good time for us to drop some reminders for you. The first thing is to grab a pen and pad, pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, a back of an envelope, index cards, I don't know. Maybe write on those old tickets you got and change it around. But anyway, sorry, I'm tripping for a minute.
<That's funny.
laughs> I'm still digressing here. I just got off work. So. Yeah, so seriously, no, grab a pen and pad, pencil and paper, something to write with. We want to make sure that if you have any questions or comments, anything like that, that you don't forget, or just something you might want to refer back to later, maybe take some notes. You might pick something up from us tonight in our discussion, or you might have something you want to share with us later on in the show. So it's always good to grab a pen and pad. Sooner or later, we're going to be sending out pins and pads to all of our followers one day. I can see it already,
yeah,
Dad.
I like
you
it.
Know,
with the greenhouse effect logo on it. Yeah. Like
either that one or write your own book. Write your own book club. One of the two,
go,
or
yeah,
if, maybe
right,
both
yeah.
even. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah,
yeah,
I thought that was
right
pretty
on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, grab that something to write with, because here at the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, why use 100 words when 1,000 words will do? Maybe even 1,500.
Amen. That's
the other reminder, yeah, right, and that comes quick sometimes. The other reminder is, unlike most podcasts that some of you may listen to, we offer different ways for you to engage with us. We have the chat room that's available on the Blog Talk Radio site. You can't access the chat room when you set up your Blog Talk Radio account on the website. The other way you can engage with us is just call in directly at the area code 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And what you do is just press 1 on the keypad. That'll bring your number into our queue, and that'll show up and let us know that you do want to chime in, ask a question, comment. We're always open. Dad has gotten very caller-friendly, so it's okay. You can call in. That's cool. But let us know what's on your mind. You know, let us know your thoughts. So, yeah, I see somebody's already pressing one button.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. So that's just a couple of reminders here. We just like to let you know before we get jumping into the show. I don't know, did I miss anything? I always feel like I miss something every time I do these dog reminders.
You know,
it'll
okay.
come up eventually.
It's okay. You're done great, man. You're done great.
So Monday. Actually, before we jump into the discussion, somebody's already pressed the 1 button on the keypad. I didn't know if maybe we should open up the lines now, or you want to give it a few minutes?
Let's give it a few minutes, man, because, you know, we got some territory to cover.
Okay. All right. Well, Monday, we had ended the show, and I just wanted to lay a few facts down real quick, just some things we were talking about. This kind of came from 2 weeks ago, actually, when you were doing the shows by yourself last year, Monday and Wednesday, and talking about Joe Biden. And last week was his first year in office as president. So I'm not sure. I don't think you did that, and I meant to ask you this ahead of time. I know that you talked about how we had 365 days go past, and the most information you heard about presidency was about Trump when he was in office versus all the accomplishments and things that Biden, that has happened under his administration. Dad, did you mention anything about some of the things that's happened in the year under their administration? Did you mention anything?
No, and what I was talking about was that in that first year of Biden's administration, it was so saturated with so much media coverage with the issues of 1-6 a year ago and, you know, what they call the Trumplican party now. It's funny. So, no, I didn't mention accomplishments at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Trumplican party.
Yeah. Is that made up or is that for real?
No, that's what I heard on the news last night, and it just stuck with me. I like that, and I have to assume that it's been bounced around before, but I just caught it last night, and I thought, Trumplican party, that's it right there, you know. But don't let me take you off stride. So no, I didn't mention any of the accomplishments. Right on, man. Perfect time.
The Trumplicans. That sounds like Oompa Loompas or something like that.
Well, you know, he looks like a big Oompa Loompa.
That's funny. So one thing that stood out, I remember mentioning, or even maybe in our own private discussion, I was talking about Vice President Kamala Harris. And there's always, jokes and speculations that run around on social media that says, you know, one of the biggest tricks is that she's not around, you don't hear anything from her, you know, she doesn't do anything. Well, you know, I mean, you know, to give her some credit, and I know there's a lot of other things that she's been doing, but, you know, she's been around, she's been visiting different states, 20 states that she's been visiting, and she's been going around. She has been making herself known. So, you know, to say that she's been a disappearing act is, I think, far from the truth. Even though we don't see her a lot in the media, that doesn't mean that she's not doing other things. So that's kind of my, you know, like my what do they call that there? Because they don't do it anymore in the media. When the media makes a mistake, it's a retraction or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. It's like, yeah, that's a good word to use.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something that the media doesn't do. But, you know, I'm okay to admit that maybe I should just be quiet and know the facts first. So I had to retract my statements about Kamala Harris. So, but some of the other things that I just wanted to just point out, and we can get going with the rest of the show. During Biden's first year, this was the greatest year of job creations, actually, I think because a lot of people had to kind of redefine themselves, and we're still kind of redefining ourselves, too. But there were 6 million jobs that were created. You know, the unemployment rate dropped from 6.2% when Biden took office to 3.9%. The biggest single year drop in American history.
Right.
You know, and for me, you know, unemployment claims have gone down. You know, there's has been its lowest since 1969, actually. The president took office, there were 18 million receiving unemployment benefits. Today, about 2 million, the biggest single drop. They estimate that child poverty would be the lowest. They estimate the lowest child poverty rate in 2021. So I kind of missed my line here. Sorry about that. Judges confirmed. There were more judges confirmed to lower federal courts than any president since President Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And more black women were appointed to the United States Court of Appeals under any other president. More black women appointed to the U.S. Court of Appeals than any president over 8 years in history. I'm sorry, did that not read right there? I hear you.
No, that read fine. My reaction has to do with the fact, not your, you know, not in the style of your reading. Go ahead. You know, that's kind of scary for me, but go ahead.
I just, you know, sometimes you read something and it's like, oh, I didn't mean for it to come out that way.
No, you're
doing
fine.
And it makes sense, but it's just like,
yeah, no, you do it. No, it's just my reaction to it. You know, and this is just me personalizing it, man. You know, that's all. I ain't got nothing to do with it, nothing else. You know, it's kind of like post-traumatic stress. Well, go ahead, man.
And the last thing, man, the last thing, like I said, I just wanted to drop about 3 to 5 little notes on here. And the last thing here is taking a look at the cabinet, the first majority non-white cabinet in history, with most women in the cabinet, including first woman Treasury Secretary, the first LGBTQ and Native American cabinet official, and the first woman director of National Intelligence. So a lot of that stuff we will miss. You know, you talk about that a lot, that how we miss these things through, you know, whatever reason it is, we miss these things. We end up Ray said it last week, you know, we get caught up on what's sexy to the media to give to us, and we forget the facts.
What's sexy, right, yeah.
What's sexy, you know. So, like I said, that was just a couple of things I just wanted to drop in. I always implore our listeners to do your own research. One thing Dad and I love about doing this show is that it forces us, you know, to try to get our facts straight and research. And we're always growing and learning. So please check it out. Real simple search, you know, Biden's first year, first facts or records or whatever. I'll even post it in the group page too, in the Facebook Greenhouse Effect page too.
Yeah, so, right on. Yeah.
That
right
was
on,
it.
Man. So if you want to bring your caller in, you know, be a good time.
Cool. Sounds good. Holding on the line here is area code 708-724, area code 708-724. Hey, thanks for calling in to the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Good. I'm a friend of your father's. We spoke before.
Yeah. Recognize your voice, man. Yeah, we'll know.
Right,
who
right.
Is.
How are
hey,
you?
What's up? What's up, Bubba?
Oh man, I've been meaning to call back. I was going to call back Monday, then I fell asleep. When I woke up, it was like 8:30. So I made sure I stayed awake and wanted to say hi.
That's cool. Most people fall asleep while they're listening to the show. So you're a little bit ahead of the game.
Yeah,
man,
that's how you guys
good to
doing.
Hear your voice, man.
Yeah,
you know,
good to hear your voice,
you know,
too.
Will, but the way you hear him right now, he sounds the same as he did when he was like 11.
Oh, really?
My man, go ahead, man. Don't let me cut you off. What's happening out there, man? How you doing? Any words
just,
of wisdom?
Hey, God is good. You know, I just count my blessings. You know, just count my blessings. I've been through a few things health-wise. And, but, you know, I had a stroke. But I'm doing good. Back in April.
Wow,
Yeah,
I remember seeing the post that I didn't realize until after the fact when I saw the post, you know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you sounded
good. Man.
You sounded strong,
Oh, yeah, I have a good wife, takes good care of me, and, you know, good friends. Me and Rodney and my brother were real close, like the Three Stooges. Me, Rodney, and Ricky.
The three amigos, man.
Yeah, three amigos, right.
No, you're right, the Three Stooges.
Yeah,
but
other than that,
don't know, we all grew up together. I'm just letting, you know, so it doesn't sound like an inside joke. You know, this is neighborhood dudes talk right now. So he mentions Rodney and his brother, whose nickname was Watt, you know.
Watusi.
Yeah. Actually, the short version was Watt. The long version was Watusi Ubangi. You know, but then again, that's all in
right.
my book.
Right. Man, I would like to get a hold of your book. I know you talking about the old neighborhood. But But I just want to drop in and say hello, man. I keep telling you I was going to call back.
Absolutely, man.
So, yeah,
appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, good talking to you guys. Hey, did you see that game Sunday?
Which one?
Which one?
Chiefs and Buffalo.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was a phenomenal game. Stephen A. Kind of ticked me off a little bit when he was highlighting what he thought were the best plays, and he didn't mention in anywhere on his slate of his best moments was Mahorn generating a score with only 13 seconds left. I mean, who does
mm-hmm.
that?
Right, exactly, yep.
Mahomes, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all right, man. Good to hear you. Hope you stay regular, man, you know.
Oh, I
give
sure will,
a
man.
Yeah.
Sure will.
Reminisce a little bit, yeah.
All right, buddy.
Yeah. If you're still up here in Chicago, man, please stay warm. I stepped out there in that 0 degree today, and my chest was like, oh, no. It was bad.
Yeah.
So I hope you take staying warm up here.
Oh, yeah, we are. All right, guys.
Very good.
Take care now.
Okay, man.
All right.
No shoveling. All
right, oh, no, I can't. I can't anymore. Talk to you later.
All right. Man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Wow. All right. Bye-bye.
Man. That's
you can
that,
and you can you stay know, on the line, too. You ain't got to hang up. So, you know, it's a reminder. You know, you don't have to hang up.
Right
just on. Press one button on your keypad again. That'll take you out the queue.
Yeah,
listen.
Did.
And, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's
you good?
That's all.
You all right?
Yeah. That's just, you know what that does to me. You know, I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe everybody has, you know, childhood friends that they grew up with that it doesn't matter how much time passes by. When you reconnect, it's like no time has passed at all, you know. I mean, he brought up, you know, Rodney and his brother and hearing his voice. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter that we haven't talked much. And it doesn't matter we haven't seen each other. Just hearing the voice just brings it all back like it was just yesterday, man. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm good. And before, and if I keep going, see, I'm going to shift the direction of the show and going to wind up talking about, you know, nostalgic memories and stuff. So let me stop right now. Yeah.
Well, let's just go ahead and jump right into it then. That was a good transition. So, you know, we were talking yesterday, just getting our stuff ready for tonight's show. And you mentioned this phrase in our messaging, what do they want?
Yeah.
Without saying who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And I know you kind of wanted to go a little bit into that tonight. So what's on your mind tonight?
I messed up, man. You know, I had written it out, you know, lined it up and segued it in from Monday. And I messed around and just caught something out the corner of my eye on the internet. And it's still within the theme of what do they want. Make no mistake about that. Mm. But probably there's going to be a part two. Hey, I see Sue is in the chat room. All right.
Hey, hola.
Hey, hola, mi amiga.
Bienvenido.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
Que onda?
Yeah.
Cubo. Sorry.
No, I think it's great. You know, I watch Training Day.
You better learn that. Learn it.
You better learn that, baby. Yeah. So this thing caught my eye, and it had to do with a situation that took place on Monday at a school board meeting in Grosse Pointe or Grosse Pointe, Michigan.
Grosse.
I'm never
Grosse
sure.
Point, but I think.
I think it's Grosse Pointe. Okay.
Yeah.
A Michigan parent had sparked anger after using the N-word, and she didn't say N-word, she said nigger, twice during a diversity meeting, which is ironic in itself, right, with the Grosse Pointe School Board on Monday. One of her sons had been suspended from the school for saying the N-word in social media. He didn't use N-word, he said nigger. And the quote, what she said at the meeting was, I have two young white boys, one of which got into trouble for saying nigger on Snapchat. The woman added that her son's dark chocolate auntie got him into Straight Outta Compton. So my boy got Straight Outta Compton. You know, he's into all the old school hip hop and says in parody on Snapchat, which essentially got him kicked out of school for 4 to 10 days. So I guess he did a parody on Straight Outta Compton. I don't know if that's a soundtrack or the movie itself, but I'm assuming he must have, you know, gotten into the role play and used the vernacular. I'm not going to use, well, I might use the word again. So I'm not sure what 4 to 10 days meant. You know, he was kicked out, so I don't know if there was something he had to do that was going to determine the length of his sentence. You know, so I guess the extreme was 10 days. I guess if he didn't act accordingly, you know, that's, you know, so anyway. She went on to add, my address was put out there. We were threatened. And why? Because he said, nigger? She said, I'm sorry. This happens to be in every song. Now, I'm assuming, Will, that you're familiar with Straight Outta Compton. I never saw the movie. I don't know if there's a soundtrack related to it. But I'm asking you for accuracy's sake, because I'm assuming that it probably was in every song, if not every word.
Yeah. So if it was Straight Outta Compton, it was a movie he was watching?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was,
I don't know if,
that was
but
based
I don't
off
know if it was the movie or the soundtrack, because I know there's a soundtrack,
well,
too. So, but
either,
what, the
either
point
way,
being, I, yeah, go ahead.
I
go
was
ahead.
Just saying that it's based off of old school hip hop, N.W.A.
Yeah,
the group Niggas with Attitude. Yeah,
right.
And yeah, that's all. Just confirming.
So what I'm asking, okay, that's what I was asking. So her statement that it was, you know, used throughout is accurate. Okay. Now here's part of her issue. You know, she said, "I'm sorry, it happens to be in every song." Now she said the FCC. John Connors, I'm not sure who that is, maybe it's a local guy, the who's who are in charge, you know, basically are allowing, you know, a nigga to be used. And our kids, you know, and then she got cut off when she was going, and, you know, she are allowing this, and our kids, and she got cut off, and a board member then interrupted her to object to her language, prompting an apology from her when she said, I'll watch it, I'm sorry. And then she went on to say, they really are trying to victimize our kids. When that happened to my son, it's just disgraceful what they do and the bullying on social media and through the school system is not cool. Now, the woman's use of the slur was addressed by the board for several members minutes during this meeting. And one of the board members spoke up and said, in my 7 years on the board, I've never heard anyone speak in the audience like tonight. And her name is Margaret Wirtz. And she went on to say, I've never heard the N-word. She said N-word. You know, I've never heard the N-word used in front of our colleagues here. And this is very upsetting to me. We need to be able to talk about different opinions, different politics, whatever. But we don't disparage people. We don't use slurs of any kind, ethnic, racial, anything. And then the superintendent of the Grosse Pointe school system spoke up, his name John Dean, and he said, I, as the superintendent, need to say our school district does not tolerate language like that in any construct. And he went on to say, and the argument that they can hear it somewhere else, therefore they can do it here, is one of the most enabling offensive arguments that has led to countless atrocities in our history. So that is really an incredibly weak argument, and it is offensive. And then that, of course, got one of the members of the NAACP into the fray. Greg Bowens was his name, and he said several people had called the organization to complain about the incident and that more board members should have spoken up about the woman's language. Then he also added, this idea that you see something racist right in front of your face and you don't address it is a poor reflection of the school board and the school district, because it means you don't care. And so it goes. Now, here I am. I'm kind of in a quandary, so to say. Being 74 years old, I've seen, experienced, heard, and watched, you know, the word nigger, you know, being used in so many variations that so many variations apply, depending on its source, depending on its meaning, depending on its intent, and depending on its purpose, right? You know that. I know that. And just about anybody who's been around America for a while knows that. Part of my issue is that, like, when she brings hip-hop into play, I've watched parents, you know, more your age parents, in relating to their children, speaking to them about, you know, let's say proper etiquette in society, you know, the use of language, the use of words, and also, you know, speaking to their children and directing their children away from certain kind of, you know, themes that they may hear or see, you know, whether in any form of the media, you know, as a dialogue with their children, I guess, to enlighten them on, you know, the importance of social etiquette, fine. But then I'll see the same children, you know, sitting by themselves, listening to the very music that this lady's talking about, listening to the language of the music, male or female, it doesn't matter, you know, listening to, not too long ago, a young male relative, you know, sitting with his sister, listening, him turning on this music that was very degrading to females, to me, and her being so young, I can't help but to wonder what kind of impression she's getting, you know, in her own head, you know, from hearing this. But is she going through kind of that schizophrenic experience that I know I'm not liking what I'm hearing, but it must be okay because my brother's playing it, you know, that kind of. But me having to be muted because, after all, they're not my children, until finally I raised the point of asking if for no other reason out of respect, you know, could he change the channel? And, of course, the immediate reaction was, well, then what do you want me to play? You know, and it's like having to go through the whole dialogue and trying to not sound like somebody trying to be authoritarian or non-relating or non-cool or whatever, or trying to sound like his parent. But at the same time, asking for something that was a foreign concept to him, you know, which was, I used the word respect. And anyway, so when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, what's going on the minds of the audience and the school board when they're hearing a mother address an issue that her son has been exposed to, that he took to heart, as teenagers do, right? And, you know, and we've seen, you know, young white boys and I'm assuming white girls, you know, get very much into the hip hop genre. And, you know, I mean, like, there's even been white rappers, right? And pretty much getting their rhythm on similar to those who they learned it from, black. So I'm not knowing, here I'm getting to my point, not knowing anything about the, other than the fact that, okay, they said the audience was diverse in its makeup, and I'm assuming the school board was too, but not knowing anything about the social climate of Grosse Pointe, Michigan, I have to ask you, in hearing all this, how well does that relate to your experiences in the Chicago public school system?
Well, the first thing is that the kid got suspended for a bunch of days, whether it was on social media or not, because, I mean, I've seen fights provoked on social media. A lot of escalations that we see in Chicago are through social media. And it's even monitored, you know, it's not like it's not being monitored because suspension, you know, I mean, kids say it all the time, you know, and it's like,
kids
don't
say
use
it
that
all
word.
The time. Yeah.
Don't,
yeah.
You know, don't use that, you know, don't use that word, use something else, you know, like the last schools I was working at, like I even heard Latino children use it, and they use it a lot now. And it's just, you know, it's just like regular conversation, you know. You know, I know that there's a lot of discussions about, you know, using this N-word. And, I mean, the thing is that we can't – I don't see how we can defend other people not using it and we still use it. And I know people like, well, we're trying to take back the word. I don't even understand what that means. And, unfortunately, I get caught up sometimes with my homies, you know, and they'll slip out, you know. But until we make a conscious effort to just erase the word – and not use it anymore, then I don't really see a lot of reason for discussion and argument. You know, it's used in the family and in the homes a lot, you know, directly at children from parents, from adults, from their elders or their older people who they look up to, you know. I think it's just one of those things that needs to just be eradicated. And there is no simple way to get around it, or at least have a better understanding. You know, one of the issues is like language, if we talk about other countries. So one of the things I had to deal with being in Mexico is the use of the word negrito. Now, negrito, if it's literally translated, it's like little black boy, something like that. But it's not meant to be derogatory. You know, it's kind of like a term of endearment. But the trauma that comes with it, though, is some things that maybe some cultures don't understand. And that's why I'm just saying, instead of trying to go through all that, let's just get rid of it. You know,
well, how do you do that?
Stuff that,
yeah.
I'm just not using it. How do you do it? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I mean,
just not yeah, using it anymore, that, but.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, right, if that could be done. But is that realistic? Now, let me preface what I mean. You know, like if we could just, you know, this being, you know, a democratic society where it argues the point of free speech all the time, and I could bet a dollar to a donut anytime I hear them, and you decide who them is, you know, say this is a, you know, free speech society, so I get to say what I want. I'm almost betting a dollar to a donut is going to be something derogatory toward me. But anyway, there's in a democratic society that speaks of free speech, you still have movies, you still have books, you still have TV shows. Oh my God, you know, you have these incredible, you know, cable TV shows right now. You know that, I mean, I guess it's because the predominant cast is black, and because they're dealing with crime and they're wearing bling, I guess, you know, it's perfectly fine to use, you know, the N-word, you know, because it's hip, you know. And I watch people who watch it and have no problem with the vernacular as they're getting into the show, whether it be shows like Empire or this one that's out right now. And, you know, so my struggle is, okay, so how do we, you know, erase it when it's already a part embedded in the culture? I'm talking about, you know, movies that through the 40s and especially the 50s and into the 60s, and, you know, had no problem, you know, with, and I'm thinking even about Django Unchained, you know, and a lot of Trenton Tarantino movies, you know, that, true, you know, his use of the N-word, you know, seems to go to the extreme, but then again, what's the extreme, you know, and you know, where is it defined that he, being white, doesn't get to use it in his art, and someone who's into hip-hop or, you know, doing rap can use it in his art? But my point being, all through my existence, it's been a part of society. It's been an issue of society. It's been a reality of society that is locked into the fiber of society, in that I can say and we can say and society can say, don't use it anymore, but then that means we're going to have to go through the analogs of every movie ever made, every book ever written, and delete it from that. You know, that's a direct affront to free speech and free expression. So it seems, and I don't know, man. It just seems to me that since it's a part of the culture, is it possible that every situation can be viewed and judged on its own singular merit and not make it a global issue? Like, I would imagine, I don't know, I'm asking you because I've never worked the system. I would imagine that you walk in the halls of security at a place like DuSable, that it's not unusual to just hear the word being used every day as readily as, good morning, how are you? You know, so, you know, do you snatch somebody every time it's said? I mean, do you bring in their parents and ask, grill the parents? Is this how you all talk at home? You know, how is that?
No.
How is that done? Yeah. I'm being facetious. So how is it done? The question is, how is it done to do it in the way you said, to just eliminate it? I mean, is that really the answer?
I mean, no. Since you put it in that perspective, no, I guess that wouldn't be the answer, to just erase it. Because you're right, there's a lot of things that are identified. And not necessarily negative things. You know, there's a lot of good things, you know. Mm-hmm. So, no, erase. That was kind of a knee-jerk reaction, but I'm glad that I, you know, expressed it. But, you know, hindsight,
I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
and
the I don't know is cool for the part of conversation, because I, too, the first time I read this, I had all my issues come to the surface, and that was my first reaction.
Yeah.
But then starting to read and sit with it more and read, so I had more time of preparation than you did. I just threw this at you, you know, but I had a little time to kind of digest several points, like her describing her son's auntie as dark chocolate auntie. You know, I mean, like, I could read something into that maybe, you know, my sensitivity reads something into it that maybe the family system doesn't. That's just one point. Go ahead. I heard you take a breath. Go ahead. Jump on.
You know, I just thought about something. You know, another part of me feels like I don't think that it's right for other cultures to use it and not understand the history of it. And I know it's like really kind of vague because we're talking about a culture taking on just one word, but like there's terms that, you know, and I'm going back to Mexico again, you know, that they would use with each other. But, you know, black people can't use these words. You know, we're not Italian. We're not Greek. We can't, you know, we can't call other Greeks Malakas. You know, we can't use that term or whatever other terms that are similar to that. So why is it okay that everybody else can use it and then give justification for why they use it? No, I don't think that that's cool. So I'm not really answering your question. I'm just identifying another issue, a concern that I have. But I have no answers or solutions.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's, but I'm not looking for answers or solutions. I'm not looking for answers or solutions. What I'm saying is, like, looking at this situation here, to me, it's a perfect example. It's layered. See, it's not, you know, it's not a singular theme here. It's layered. You know, first of all,
yeah,
I don't know what the family makeup is, but she described this boy's aunt as dark chocolate. So I'm assuming that means she's black. And she exposed him to Straight Outta Compton. So him, as most teenagers would be in so many situations, being encouraged to check something out. And you know teenagers, I know teenagers well enough to know, regardless of their color, they all want to be included. They all want to be hip. They all want to be in the in crowd. You know, so I don't know if the school is integrated. I'm assuming it probably is. You know, I'm assuming it probably is. So, you know, I don't know what his choice of friends are. All these themes that aren't talked about, at least not in this particular situation, to me, are that it's where the understanding of cultural orientation would come from to me. So it's like, just because I'm a black parent, as you know, being my son all your life and mine too, as you know, just because I'm your father, I'm saying this to you now because you're 50, doesn't mean I'm right, you know, especially when it comes to values you're being exposed to. We had our issue, you know, years ago with regards to your listening to rap music and describing it as, for your generation, it was like the blues. Well, you know, that was like blasphemy to me. But at the same time, I had to remind myself of what it was like and what I listened to at your age and what the reaction of my parents and elders was, which hasn't really changed. And I don't think it's any different for the white culture that, you know, at the time had a hard time dealing with rock and roll, had a hard time dealing with, you know, white kids being exposed and digging black artists, black music, black performers, you know. I think that this particular issue, especially near the last part of what I was reading about, I don't think it's fair to the mother to be held accountable for using a word that everybody knows without making reference to where it came from, you know, and her point being and defending her son as mothers would, not feeling it was fair for him to be expelled from school. It's like a reality check. It's like me being her voice right now. You're going to tell me that in this school system, and even with all of you on the board, you aren't familiar with this word enough to recognize where he gave himself permission to use it, from where the resource came from, and the media outlet he was using it on. And let me preface this. When I worked at the Chicago Tribune, you know, as a 19-year-old, Richard Pryor was just coming on the scene. Back then, I'm going to really, you know, ancient myself. But back in that time of day, there were things called LPs, which were long playing records, and he had come out with this LP, you know, called Craps, you know. And there was one particular segment in Craps where he was talking about Nigga Ben. And it's hilarious. I mean, it was funny. You know, me and my crowd died. But it was my first time, 19, working at Chicago Tribune, which is about as right wing of a newspaper. As a matter of fact, you get so far out on the right in that wing where you don't even know there's another wing to the plane. But it's like flying one wing. But anyway, you know, so this young white boy, you know, he liked to carry himself kind of like being quick, being slick, being cool, you know, and he started reciting Craps, and he was talking about Nigga Ben. And, you know, I was the only, you know, raisin in the sun, and everybody was laughing, you know, at him doing his parody, you know, and it was clear to me. Yeah, one part of me was clear to me that it wasn't anything that he was doing that he was doing in a way to be offensive to me. If anything, he was doing it like, yeah, man, I can dig this, you know. And, of course, the rest of the dudes were laughing because they were laughing at his use of the word. My reaction was twofold. You talked about it Monday, about dysfunctional schizophrenia. I'm laughing with the dudes because I don't want the dudes to know inside of me. I'm thinking, you know, I wish it was a way I could hurt this person. But on the outside of me, I'm having to laugh with the crowd so they can't tell I'm being offended. You know, so, you know, it's like fast forward to now, I just have to wonder if there's a piece being missing in all the sensitivity conversations that are going on. Do we really understand what it means? We as a society, America, do we really understand the term, you know, unity and diversity? You know, can we come to a place of recognizing the importance of saying to the son, although I understand where you got it from, and though I understand your crowd uses it, you have to understand that under certain circumstances, it can be deemed inappropriate. And leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's have an open mic dialogue about not the crime and punishment, you know, but the reality of what it takes to be sensitive to a concept of unity and diversity. You know, these are the themes of our society. You know, the bigger issues are still out there. They're flagrant. They ain't going anywhere. You know, but we have it inborn in our society that the use of this word has been reflective of the people ever since before freedom. It's why I hate slave movies. You know, it's why, you know, like, but at the same time, I hate to admit it, but at the same time, you know, I can get off on some of them Quentin Tarantino movies, you know. So, you know, man, I'm all messed up. I'm confused. Can you help a brother out?
I'm just as confused as you are. I cannot help you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
But... Was that no, my brother? You got to get your own. To add on, you were asking about my time working with the kids in the schools. You know, when I heard that word being used as kids walk by or whatever, you know, it wasn't like I said, it wasn't, oh, you report to the dean, you know, to merit, you know, whatever. It wasn't anything like that. But it was a moment, and I always, well, not always, but I tried to take advantage of that and just, you know, sometimes depending on who the kid is, you know, you got to pick your battles sometimes. Like, do I really want to get into this?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But sometimes, yeah, like, hey, you know, you don't need to use that. You don't need to use that word. You know, why are you using that word?
But,
like, sometimes it could set up for a conversation. But
Yeah.
You know, are you just using it just to be using it? You know, I mean, you know, why are you using that word? But sometimes it's like, hey, you don't have to say that. You don't have to use that. But it could open up dialogue, you know. It could or it can just, you know, in one ear out the other.
It could be,
you know, maybe once in a while it might stick, you know, if it goes in one ear and out the other. And it's just, I think it's a subtle reminder to what you were saying, you know, as far as understanding, just a basic understanding of what's appropriate and what's inappropriate.
And I don't really think it goes in one ear and out the other. I think, you know, the fact that even if it comes all the way through, that means it's made an impression. And whether agree or disagree, I'm speaking of the one being reprimanded, whether agreeing or disagreeing, having heard it means it will stick. Now, it may not be applied, but at least a level, a degree, no matter how minute, a degree of awareness has been stirred. And isn't that the point? You know, just to stir a degree of awareness, you know, and I think that's where, and I really believe that's where elements of sensitivity are born. You know, just because I don't agree with you at 16 doesn't mean I won't grow to understand at 25. You know, you have a cousin who, you know, considers every act of physical discipline done to a child is a beating. You know, he doesn't cut any corners. You know, it's like, you know, he doesn't call it, you know, a spanking or a whipping. He calls it a beating. You know, but he hadn't gotten married yet, and he hadn't had children. So, you know, I never wanted to put the brother on the spot. I can't help but to wonder now, you know, what some of his issues are if they're being challenged from the original stance he had when he was footloose and fancy free. And he told me one day, he said his son, you know, just got out of hand, and he couldn't control it. He says, so I just took him in the bedroom and just took off all his clothes. And he said, and I just stood there and I asked myself, well, why the hell did you do that? You know, so I'm sorry. It just seems to me that, you know, it just because unchecked at the checked at the time, whether, you know, approved or agreed, I think the real value is in the checking. You know, like, I don't know if suspending is the answer, because all that does is create a theme of reaction, victimism, and revenge. I think, especially if it feels unfair, and we know what that's like to go through that feeling of unfairness by the number of black men and women that are locked up unfairly in prison. So these themes, when they come full circle, I think as we mature, you know, the values continue to mature as well. And I guess that's all I'm really saying, man. So I see, of course, you got another caller in the queue who, you know, appropriately so would wait till we're about done to go into the queue. Hello, you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the mic muted. Sorry about that. I'm cracking up over here, man. You didn't even hear me laughing.
So, you know, you got, I was saying, it looks like you got somebody in the queue. And so appropriately, you know, it would be right at the end of the show.
At the top of the hour, at the end, right?
Yeah, so, you know, we got exactly a minute, right? You going to bring them in?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Okay.
You can push it a little bit.
You guys are giving me a complex.
Well, you pressed the one button.
Well, yeah, you're the one who's creating it.
Press the one button on Monday, and now you finally getting to me.
Well, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, we hung up since Monday. You've been a hoe since Monday, man.
Yo, you need a new phone. You need a new phone line. Who's your carrier?
I don't like you guys anymore.
That's all right.
What's
you guys
up,
don't
Primo?
Like me either,
what you
so
got,
the feelings
man?
Mutual. What's up, guys? I have a bigger issue with the mom walking in saying what she said. If her son's singing a song, maybe it's not correct, but the mom walking in there saying, my son said this, and that, and kept dropping the N-bomb.
Yeah.
What gives her that right or that privilege? Her son got suspended for it, so she's going to walk into the meeting and say the exact same thing and think that everything's going to be fine?
Well, maybe
yeah,
not.
I think.
See, go ahead, Will.
No, go ahead, Dad. Go ahead. I got it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. You know.
I think that there should be some balance. And as a parent, you're not going to walk into a public meeting. You know, maybe there was a point she had to make. I don't remember because Dad just read it, and it was my first time hearing it. You know, but with the kid, you know, he could have copied and pasted lyrics off of YouTube, you know, and posted it on Snapchat, or maybe caught up in the moment. You know, many times we've been caught up in the moment and use words we know wasn't appropriate. Whatever the reason was, you know, I think it opened more for, again, discussion and dialogue like I did with the kids before. And instead of suspending him, which doesn't make sense, especially nowadays in our education system with COVID, everything's all jacked up. If the kid's going to be in school, he needs to be in school. He shouldn't miss time in school because he made a mistake. That can be easily talked about, you know, and discussed. But as the parent, you know, that's like parents when I used to have to deal with that come to the school dressed in their pajamas with their flip-flops. You know what I'm saying? And I understand you're comfortable, you're coming around the corner, you know what I'm saying? But things are appropriate and things are inappropriate, you know. You just got through smoking a blunt out in the car and then you walk into the school. Some things are appropriate and some things are just inappropriate, you know. And as a parent, you know, you sometimes have to set the example, integrity of it all, you know.
And if he was singing, you know, F the Police from Public Enemy, would he have been suspended?
You know, was it the N-word being used in that song?
No. Well, yes. No,
okay,
no, no,
yeah,
it wasn't.
Because her point was, every song had the N-word in it, you know, so I don't know if that meant she actually listened to it herself, which I would applaud her for doing. That, you know, and I'll tell y'all something, man. I ain't so against her taking her stance the way she did. You know, because her point being, you know, this word is approved of by the FCC and all the powers that be. So if they say it's cool to use it, if he's able to go out and buy it, if he's able to create a parody around it, that she's standing up and giving an example of it's being used like that. I got to kind of applaud that. But at the same time, she was criticized by the dude from the NAACP as being racist. Isn't that a little unfair?
But even with when the FCC approves it and lets these records go out, they still put advisory parental warnings on it, saying you have to be 18 or your parent, you know.
Like, using this word might be harmful to your health.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Cigarettes cause cancer. I'm just saying that you can buy them, but I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, I hear you. But there's no but, yeah. This is the healthy dialogue. See, this to me is where the school board should have gone, you know, leaned toward, and this is where audience participation, to me, would have been real helpful. Like, there's a reason why other board members didn't speak up. I have to assume they weren't going, no, you ain't getting me caught up into that. that fear of it. See, that's kind of a bullying too, you know. And if your superintendent stands up and says all of what he said and he, you know, destroys the woman right there on the spot, you know, and how the rest of the school board members going to say, no, man, I don't agree. You know, so, you know, I got to kind of, you know, to some degree applaud her for her willingness to put herself out there in defense of her son. My own sensitivities, though, caused some concern as to, you know, what was really being passive-aggressively expressed. You know, like, is she a pseudo-racist who used this opportunity to get that word out of her system?
Jab.
As a parent, she should have nipped it in the bud because it's an album by the group N.W.A. So, okay,
yeah,
every song, look at the name of the group.
Well, her issue was the fact that her son got suspended for the using the word.
Yeah.
You know, that was her issue. And her issue was that, as she described it, he got the movie, I guess, or the soundtrack, I don't know, whichever, you know, from his dark chocolate auntie. Now, you know, like, those are the kind of things that rattle. Like, my question
dark
is,
chocolate.
Why did you refer to her as dark chocolate?
Dark chocolate,
you know,
right.
So she should have repeated the lyrics saying dark chocolate then.
Okay, but see, here it is right here. This is where, you know, an audience participant. Can you see the audience say, well, wait, you know, like, I don't know how the song rolled, but could you see part of the audience getting ready to dark chocolate, whatever, however, you know, like, you know, like, let's see what you all just told me. I didn't know. She's speaking right from the lyrics of a song. Well, man, you know, I don't know. To me, that's like, yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah,
anyway,
I mean.
That's just me, man. That's just me.
I mean, and it opens up, again, to me, it just opens up the opportunity to talk about it. You know, why was he watching it? What about it fascinated? Does he want to be a rapper?
Yeah.
Did he like the story about how they came up from nothing and became N.W.A. and everybody knows who Ice Cube is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and
is it a thing of peer pressure? Does he just want to belong to the, you know, his circle?
Right,
of
that's the other thing. Right. Was he just trying to get some followers? Was he just trying to
get some,
you
points.
Know, do the whole social media point thing? Yeah, his dad calls it, you know.
But
what's sexy is that here is this student who got suspended for saying nigga while his mama come up there, and then she on the mic, and she uses it too. And never, ever have we heard such use of the word in front of our people before.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, oh, my goodness.
Oh
my God!
You know.
Right.
So
what's this district coming to? Sorry.
And herein lies the rub, y'all. You know, and that. Thank you both, because you know, to me, herein lies the rub. I mean, like if we can't find, you know, the forum which they had, you know, to go into the real fiber of an understanding even of the culture. You know, what a wonderful opportunity for, you know, for a lesson in the culture. You know, if you want to, you remember, you know, the lesson I got when I was working at Walmart, you know, and it was this older Hispanic woman and who worked in the freezer area where I had to go to get the cold-ass chicken and skins. But the people I worked with at the deli, you know, they were a mixture of diversity, but mostly Hispanic. And all spoke Spanish, you know, and they would always refer to each other as mamacita. So I thought it was like an expression of friendliness, like, you know, you know, my friend or, you know, my colleague. But I didn't have the benefit of dialogue with the audience, right? So I just assumed, you know, like I wouldn't put it past this white boy, you know, just assumed. Since, you know, it's what's being used, what's around me, what's still accepted, that, you know, I'd be cool to use it. So this older Hispanic woman, you know, I encountered every morning. And for the first couple times, I was saying, you know, buenos dias, mamacita, ¿cómo está? You know, and I would, you know, say that for 2 or 3 days in a row, you know, buenos dias, mamacita, ¿cómo está? And one day, you know, the fourth day, I started, buenos dias, mom, and she put her hand up and stopped me. She said, no, mamacita. No, and she just shook a finger at me. And thought, damn, what did I do now? You know, I was, thought I was being respectful. And I went back and told, you know, the lady crew I worked with what happened, and they just fell out laughing. They thought it was the funniest thing. They said, no, you got to understand. The way we use it, we're calling each other girlfriend. And so I thought, okay, so maybe I offended her by calling her my girlfriend. But I still wasn't getting to the point until my very dear white female friend who lives in Austin, Marie's, you know, when I told her the story, she said, yeah, okay, you know, I see where you're coming from, but what if I walked up into your crowd with your son and your friends, and I said, my niggas, what's up? I said, oh, okay, I get it now. You know, it's the misuse of, you know, of appropriateness, you know, and ignorance is no excuse. So anyway, okay, y'all have done me in. I'm done, man. I'm through.
Right on. Yeah, you shared the Mama Cita tough story, man. I've definitely got to put this out in marketing. Awesome.
Oh, man.
Did not expect that tonight.
So, Adam, you still with us, man?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. There he is. So where are we, man? How you feeling? You feel like you've been heard?
Yes, I have.
Oh,
thank you guys very much.
Oh, you mean Adam.
Yeah, because we don't want him hold. We don't want him hold until next Monday.
That's a long way.
Just still waiting.
Monday,
to be heard,
Monday to
man.
Wednesday, I'm cool with. Yeah, that's a long way.
So you
all
good,
right, cool.
Adam? Man, I love you, man.
I'm good. I love you guys too, man.
All right, we'll land this airplane, man.
All right, Primo. You, it's always good hearing from you. Thanks to everybody
Amen.
In the
Amen.
Chat room.
Yeah.
Buenas noches to Sue and everybody down in Mexico. Thank you all the listeners on the phone lines, et cetera. But thank you all. And even those that are listening to the recorded show. Hopefully we can hear you live one day, Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, live on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhousefx. You may notice now, oh, by the way, that I'm putting a slash in between the F and the X. That is not a typo. Yeah, that is not a typo or incorrection. What I'm trying to do is differentiate from the group of people who are into what's called forex training. That's a foreign exchange. They do foreign exchange trading, like stock market trading.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
got you. Okay.
So, yeah, just trying to break away from that. So I'm glad I had a moment to explain that too. So, this FX is not about forex training. We're about our effect to each other and our effect to the world.
You did a good job. You
thank you.
A good
thank
job
you. Thank
it,
you.
Man.
We all in this together. We all we got. So this is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. The opportunity to provide, a chance to provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others of their experience. Especially when we share interpretations and feelings, as we always try to do on our shows Mondays and Wednesdays. And Adam, thanks again for calling in and sharing your questions and interpretations and feelings. We always appreciate it. Anything else, Dad, before we get up out of here?
No, man. No. You don't want me to get started again. I love you, man. Love you, Adam. Love all of you out there listening right now. You know, and those
right,
who will be listening to the recorded show. Yeah, man. All righty, son.
Right on. Right on. Love you too, man. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So just as a reminder, think about some things before you go to sleep tonight. When you do your things, why do you do it? And who are you doing it for? So that was Daddy-O, Bill Green. My name is Will Green. This is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Please be safe. Peace. Please be blessed and stay warm out there. Until Monday, have a good night.
Amen. To all the crazy things that happened that made me who I am, I say amen. To everyone who ever hurt me. you.